Well, good morning, saints. You seem happy and chipper, and most of you are rather tan. It's that time of year when it's great to sell real estate in Oregon, right? People show up and they're like, this is literally heaven on earth. And I completely agree until we hit like January, February. But this is the good space. When I, whenever I come to church on a Sunday, you just never know, because in Oregon, during the summertime, we all go play because it's when Oregon shows off. And so if it's a light Sunday, I comfort myself with the words that were given to our founding pastor, John, by the guy who mentored him, Roy Hicks Jr. And he would tell John that in Oregon, even God doesn't go to church every Sunday of the month during the summer. Now, I don't know if that's true. I hope that's not true, but it's a funny joke. And I've now said it, so let me focus on what I'm supposed to be doing here. We've been on a series. My name is Joshua Rivas, and I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Center, and I love it. And we've been doing a series of our core beliefs. And the core belief that we're going to look at today is that the gospel of the kingdom is the only hope for mankind. We have 12 core beliefs. You can find them actually on the website. If you scan the QR code, it'll take you right there. If you haven't ever listened to this whole series, take an opportunity to look at it, because this is what we're seeking to live out together. These are the core beliefs that shape how we gather, when we gather, what we're doing, what we're hoping to do in our cities, why we serve in our cities, why we take time to make sure that we don't overload the saints in what we're doing. I mean, this is really, these are the things that shape who and how we live. So I really want to encourage you to engage with that. And I'm glad that you're here today, because we're getting to do it now. So far what we've done is we've outlined different core beliefs concerning God, ourselves, and the church as God's family. And now what we're going to do is we're going to broaden our scope, and we're going to consider the kingdom of God. And the first part of that, there's three parts of the kingdom of God that we articulate as our core beliefs. And this one is that the gospel of the kingdom is the only hope for mankind. The gospel of the kingdom is the only hope for mankind. When Jesus came and preached the good news, he didn't speak only of personal salvation. He didn't just preach about just asking God into our hearts and that when we die, we'll go to heaven. That was not the only part of the message that Jesus brought. That is a part of the message. It's true. When we believe in Christ, we are saved. And when we die, we will be present with the Lord. And eventually, he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. We'll be with him. But it goes beyond just our own personal salvation. Christianity, following God, the gospel of the kingdom, is not an only individualistic pursuit. Personal salvation is one aspect of the good news. All throughout the Old Testament, the prophets looked forward to a day when that era would end, when the Messiah would come to defeat darkness and usher in his reign as the Lord of heaven and earth. And when Jesus arrived on the scene, the angels rejoiced because they knew that he was the fulfillment of all of those hopes. Everyone was looking forward to this Messiah, this king that would come and bring a new kingdom. With the coming of Jesus came the beginning of the end of the kingdom of darkness. How many of you guys know that the earth was under the power of Satan? He actually had authority that was given to him by Adam and Eve. When they sinned, they gave authority to Satan, and he got to be the prince over the earth. He got to have the final call. He got to have authority to direct nations and kingdoms here. He had actual authority. But when Jesus came, the reign of Satan was over. The kingdom of God had come. Now, I'm going to let some of our favorite teachers, Tim Mackey being one of them, come and articulate this well. So, you know, it's always a good day when we get to have a video, just like in school. So we're going to watch a little video here by the Bible Project, and they're going to articulate the gospel. What do we mean when we say the gospel? And so let's let these guys give you a little thumbnail sketch, and then we'll get back into it.
If you know any Christians, or if you happen to be one, you've probably heard the word gospel as a kind of summary of Christian belief, connected to phrases like, God loves you, or Jesus died for your sins. But over time, religious words like gospel can lose their power and meaning by becoming too familiar. So, let's take a moment to rediscover what this important word, gospel, meant to the people who wrote the Bible. Gospel translates the Old Testament Hebrew verb, biser, and the noun, besorah. The Greek New Testament equivalent is euangelion, which is a compound word. Eu means good, and angelion means announcement. All of these words mean good news, but what kind of news? Well, in Hebrew, beser is what we might call national news, or a royal announcement. Like when King David hears a messenger beser that his army was victorious in battle. That means he still rules on his throne over the people of Israel. And after David dies, his throne is passed on to Solomon, his son. And when he was inaugurated as king in Jerusalem, a herald spreads the besorah, that a new ruler is in charge. But after Solomon's death came a bunch of bad news kings, whose corruption led their nation into self-destruction. This is why the prophet Isaiah announced the good news that one day the God of Israel would come as the cosmic king to confront all corrupt and violent kingdoms and restore his rule over all nations. And so, when Jesus of Nazareth hit the public stage, he continued Isaiah's gospel when he went around announcing the euangelion of God's kingdom. Jesus claimed that God was restoring his reign over his people Israel and over all nations, and he was the one bringing it all about. Now, the euangelion about a new king in charge means a new way of life. Jesus said that living in God's kingdom meant following him by putting down the sword and seeking peace through radical forgiveness and generosity, even toward your enemies. His good news required people to make a decision. This is why Jesus took his euangelion to Jerusalem to confront the corrupt and violent kingdoms of his day. But he challenged them in a surprising way with the power of God's generous love. As Jesus was being executed by his enemies, he received his crown and was mocked as a fake king. But he displayed true royal authority by forgiving his tormentors. Jesus was the one in charge that day, giving his life for the sins of others. And then, a few days later, everything changed. Jesus rose from the dead as the true king, whose love is stronger than death. He appeared to hundreds of his followers and told them to spread the euangelion, that all authority in heaven on earth now belongs to him. And they did share this good news all over the ancient world. They did it by writing the four accounts of Jesus' life that are the gospel. That is, they tell the story of how Jesus brought God's kingdom, how he lived for others and died for their sins, and then was raised from the dead. Jesus' followers also shared the good news by simply talking about it. This is why Peter and Paul, or Priscilla and Aquila, traveled all around sharing the royal announcement. While it might look like the rulers of our world are in charge and can do whatever they want, the good news is that the crucified and risen Jesus is the true Lord of the world, the real King of all creation. And in Jesus' kingdom, things are different. It's where the real leaders are the servants, because the last are first, and the first go to the back of the line. It's where the hungry are fed and the homeless are welcome, because love is the most powerful reality of God's kingdom. And this good news is not easy to believe. It actually sounds kind of crazy when you first hear it, but something happens when people tell the story of Jesus and start living like he really is the king of the world. That's when this gospel becomes the best news that you've ever heard.
Amen. Let us pray. Isn't that good? It's so good to remember the goodness of the message that first changed our lives. And you know, the interesting thing about being a human, I don't know about you guys, but we have an incredible capacity. We're made in the image of God, and we have an incredible capacity to have something that can be absolutely extraordinary like that become absolutely normal. Now, I think there's something good to that, because we're created to know this absolutely limitless God, this unlimited God filled with all power, all love, all mysteries, all joy, all freedom, and we're going to know him for eternity. So there's a certain part of us that's actually designed to have a capacity that becomes comfortable with, that is able to interact with something as extraordinary as God himself. And when we get our new body and we're with him face to face, we'll know him even more, and we'll have an eternity to know him even more. And there will be a newness every day, and we're able to interact with that. But here in this time, and at this time, I don't know about you guys, but there's a certain level of that those very things that we're so exquisite when we first heard the gospel of the kingdom and we first came into knowing him as he is. Do you guys remember your first love? Do you remember that sense of excitement, that sense of newness, that sense of aliveness? Are you guys alive? What is this? Oh, this is my name tag. Just came flying off of me. Do you guys remember that? There was that buzz, you know? How many of you guys remember when you first met the person that you later married? Do you remember that tingle, that buzz? Like before that, when they brushed their teeth started to annoy you, but like before that. Before when you found out how they eat chips, like before that. Do you remember that? There's this freshness. There's this reality of coming out of darkness into the light. And the reality, though, of that, guys, is it hasn't changed. We have become acclimated to the gospel of the kingdom because we're in the kingdom. And it is a good and it is a beautiful and it is a hard work. But I love having an opportunity to go back to these core beliefs because it reminds us of the reality of that good news, the reality of that good kingdom. And it reminds us again that something that has become commonplace for us is something that others who are still in darkness have yet even to taste, even to know that it could possibly be true. And we need that. We need sometimes for the Spirit of God to say, wake up, wake up. Remember from where you came, that we can engage and carry this good news yet again. One of my favorite scriptures, I pray this over you guys, by the way, all the time. There is. I don't think there's a week that goes by that I don't pray this over myself, over my family, and over you as my family in Christ. And it's this, Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. And this is Paul's prayer, and I love this over the Colossians, but this is over all of us as saints. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. How many of you guys need some endurance today? Lord, I pray that they would receive through the Holy Spirit endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. The Father has enabled each of you to share in the inheritance of the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We were once in darkness, but now Jesus has come, and now you are in light, saints. You were once in darkness, but now you live in the light. He goes on, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. I want you to catch this, because the reality is we live in this earth and we experience this earth, and everything that we've experienced has happened to us. How many of you have noticed that? You were born through someone else's womb. You were born into a world that you didn't create. You were created. And so each thing that you've experienced is happening to you, and you're responding and reacting to that. And you're making decisions, and you've made those decisions based on that experience. And that's something that's God-given. That's true. That's there. But until we come into the kingdom, until we hear the gospel of the kingdom, the hope for mankind, whatever it is that we've experienced, whatever it is that we've thought of, has happened as we have processed those things that have happened to us. You have come to different conclusions based on what's happened to you thus far. Are you guys tracking with me thus far? All right. Do you like where we're going? Anyone? Anyone at all? But God has given us this good news that not everything that's happening is just happenstance. That it's not just a cycle that started on accident. There's something greater than just the material world that you've experienced. There's something greater than the momentary pleasures that are then overtaken by certain despairs and certain trials and certain troubles. How many of you in here have experienced trials and troubles in this world? How many of you have experienced destruction and disappointment? And time and chance is mean, right? How many of you guys, sometimes you're just like, are you kidding me? Why does the toast always land peanut butter side down? I think it's probably physics, but it feels like sometimes it should at least land upward and at least not in cat hair. This is a life. There's got to be more than just the peanut butter toast landing face down. There has to be more than that. There has to be more than that you won the lottery of the genetic lottery. And the good news is, the Evangelion, the gospel of the kingdom, is that there is more than that. That there is more than that. And that Jesus Christ has come, and it's actually in him that all things, through him, that all things have been created, and it's in him that all things are held together. So wherever you are right now, whatever your experience is right now, you are engaged in this incredible, epic story of God with man seeking to create and see a family redeemed that wants to live with him forever. So you and I live in a temporary earth that will be replaced with a permanent earth and a permanent heaven that will last forever, and we will live with him. And the gospel of the kingdom is this, guys. It's not all time and chance. It's not all pointless. The pain that you feel matters deeply to the Lord, and he will redeem those things. They're not wasted. But there's also a beautiful hope in this, that there is a temporary aspect to what we're doing on this earth right now. How many of you guys, like this is not all that there is? That's really good news. Even the best structures that we create, even the best structures that we need to create as those who are carrying the gospel of the kingdom, we create in such a way as to know that the structures that we create, the government structures, the educational structures, the business structures, all of them within the kingdom, but we also keep in mind, because of the eternal reality of that he will bring a new heaven and a new earth, we build in such a way that our structures are necessarily like Christ, unto Christ, but also necessarily temporary in how we do it, because we know that that's the only way we can actually follow with reality, that our actions are eternal unto that we get to build towards heaven. We get to say, as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. And everything in my responsibility that's up to my influence, I'm going to build like he builds. But I know that this earth, that these things are a preview of what's to come. So I'm not going to try to build utopia on earth, but I am going to build according to the building code of the kingdom of heaven in everything that I do. Do you guys see that? And we're going to unpack a little bit more of what that looks like. But the first part that I want you to catch is that everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. Whether it's thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Everything that's happening in this earth, God is working in the midst of it. Even in spite of evil structures, God will still continue to work in this earth. That is really good news. I think some of us need to remember that right now. You need to remember that right now. Like whether you have way too much faith in some earthly champion right now, whether they're a politician or a thought leader or some sports icon or some artist, if you've got too much hope in that person, the thing you need to realize is that person is either going to not get elected next time, or they're going to die, or they're going to become less influential. And the good news is you're going to be okay, because they're not your God. They're not your king. They're in the midst. They could be doing some great things. I'm not even criticizing that. I'm not even questioning that. But you and I are unshaken because we're part of an unshakable kingdom and an unchanging person whose name is Jesus Christ, and he's our king. It's good. And we got to get saved again. I think sometimes we just need to get born again. I think we get a little tired. My hope for you this morning is that you're going to leave here and be like, you know what, dadgummit, I've been in a bad mood, and it's about time that changed. And I think it just did. I think it just did. I think I just remembered the good news of the kingdom, which is the hope for all mankind. And wait a minute, I'm carrying it. I want to encourage you today. And here's the thing. Here's the good news. I can do a little bit of that, but I'm on the team of the one who is encouraging you today, the Holy Spirit. And you're part of the message of the gospel of the kingdom, which is the only hope for mankind. All right. He's before all things, and by him all things hold together. He's also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now once you were alienated and hostile in your minds, as expressed in your evil actions. But now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him, if indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. This gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it. Remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. Lord, I want to pray right now, even as we're in the midst of listening to these scriptures, even as we're in the midst of hearing this talk about the gospel of the kingdom being the hope for mankind, Lord, I want to ask for our own souls, for my soul, for my brothers and sisters in this house. God, you planted us in this place in Mid-Willamette Valley for such a time as this. You chose where we would live. In this moment, we are part of your good news for this place and these people at this time. But Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to help us to remain steadfast even now, God. I pray for those right now that are just in a place of malaise, God, just in a place of getting hammered down, that hammer's hitting the same nail over and over again, whether it's a prayer that's not yet answered or a besetting sin or a situation that doesn't seem to change. God, you know it, but I pray for every heart and every mind in this place that, Lord, you would bring hope into that place according to your Holy Spirit. God, you're going to move in that situation. We don't know when, but we know it certainly isn't if, it's when. And so, Lord, I ask for your hope right now to come into every heart. Your hope right now to be refreshed in every heart, because we, the saints, are a part of bringing that good news, bringing that gospel of the kingdom. And we need you to do it in us again today. Refresh it in us again today. In Jesus' name I pray. So Jesus comes to the earth, and the first thing that he does is he opens up the scroll. When Jesus first came, he opens up the scroll, and what does he do? He begins to quote Isaiah 61. He begins to quote Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of God is on me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he closed the scroll. Now, he certainly came to do all of Isaiah 61. We're going to touch on a few of those aspects of Isaiah 61 because, guys, that's what we're carrying. That's what we're called to do. That's the hope that we have for this nation. That's the hope that we have for every nation. That's the hope that we have for this whole earth, is that those that will turn to Christ can not only know him, but they can live forever with him. And while we're here, we're carrying that message for all of those that are here. And we're serving and we're moving and we're living in a certain way that causes people to look and see that God is good, to see something that's different in you and I. And we don't get distracted by even those very good things that align themselves with the gospel of the kingdom. So what does this look like? What does this look like? Jesus taught us to pray, "Father in heaven, let it be on earth as it is in heaven." So the way that you and I live this out, the core beliefs that shape the way that you and I live, is that we're continually looking and saying, "Lord, on earth, I have been given authority with you to extend your kingdom, to bring the good news of your kingdom in everything that I do. I know that the only hope for any heart, for any situation, is the kingdom that looks like the King whose name is Jesus. So I look at his kingdom. How much disease is in heaven? So when I see disease on earth, I pray that people will be healed. Because there's no disease in heaven. So I say, Lord, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. How much broken relationships are in heaven? So when I'm in the midst of a broken relationship, I work as a person of peace, someone who seeks to bring reconciliation, not because they deserve it, not because I deserve it, but because Jesus Christ, he bought it with his own blood and said, I want to extend mercy. So I move into that situation and love people, not because they're worthy of it, not because they earned it, not because they deserved it, but because Jesus Christ said, they're worth it. And I gave my whole life. Now go make it right at whatever cost that is to you, because my goal is people be reconciled and relationships be restored. Are you with me? You guys are hearing what I'm saying. In matters of abuse, get other people involved. That doesn't mean stay in an abusive relationship. That doesn't mean allow someone to devastate you. I'm not talking about that. That's a different situation that I'm not preaching about right now. But I just want to say, if you're in here right now and you're in an abusive situation, you being abused by that person does not bring glory to God. If the unbeliever doesn't want you in the relationship, leave the relationship. Okay? That's not bringing glory to God. I don't know who that's for, but don't stay in that relationship. You being abused is not love from God. So that being very clear, you and I are ministers of reconciliation. So when there's a breach, we go in as peacemakers and we seek to find a way to make peace. Why? Because there is peace in the kingdom of heaven. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Now, I want to look at Isaiah 61 because it gives us, how many of you guys, Isaiah 61 is one of your favorites? Anybody in here? Oh, good. Yeah, it's one of our favorites here. Here at Christ Center, I mean, every church is called to be an Isaiah 61 church, but we brag about it. I think I want to see some tattoos on some of y'all. I'm not a tattoo guy, but if you are, get an Isaiah 61 one because that's how we roll, okay? The Spirit of God is on us. God has anointed us, first of all, to bring good news to the poor. Hey, good news. Jesus Christ knows who you are. He knows your name. You are not an orphan. You are a son or a daughter, and you belong in this kingdom. There is good news. Now, let me get you some lunch, and let's get you rolling. It's good news. You belong. We go, and we seek for ways to serve those that are caught in the edges, that are dropping off, that are marginalized, that are missing out. Do you guys realize how much good news comes to people simply because they didn't know that there was something better available? Like, people miss out because they just don't know. They just don't know. And as simple as it would seem, with the poor, by the way, so often people don't even realize how many resources are actually available because they don't have a network like we have. And you can actually come to people and say, well, did you know about Catholic Community Services? They're like, Catholic Community what? Did you know about local aid? We have a local aid. I mean, you would be amazed, guys. I'm telling you, when you're in a place of crisis, all you're doing is you got your head down, you're in survival mode. You have no idea. You might be in did you guys know that there's shelter care for women that are in abusive situations? Incredible resources. And if you connect with that, they'll connect you with even more resources. Did you know that? Did you know that Adult and Teen Challenge, like if you're addicted and you just got nowhere else to go, did you know that Adult and Teen Challenges will work with you and you can sign up and start their program and now you have a place to live and food to eat and Christ to meet and freedom to find? Did you know that? Did you know you could, if you see a homeless person, did you know that you could give them an Adult and Teen Challenge card and say, call this number if you're ready to change your life? It's not that resources aren't available, it's that oftentimes people don't know they're available. And you and I are called to have eyes to see. We're supposed to bring good news to the poor in very real ways. Are you with me? We're not in survival mode. We're there to bring good news to people who are in survival mode. And you guys have heard that, right? Both hands of the gospel. The word, like if you don't tell them about Jesus, you have not given the gospel. It says, preach the gospel. Declare that Jesus Christ has come. If you're not doing that part, you haven't preached the whole gospel. But if you also don't do anything for the physical needs, you also haven't preached the whole gospel. It's both, right? It's word and deed. You guys with me? We're living that out. It's exciting. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom to the prisoners, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn, to give beauty instead of ashes, splendid clothes instead of despair. Did you know they give away clothes at Local Aid? Did you know that? I love St. Vincent de Paul. They're doing their own work. It's a great mission. But you can just get them for free at Local Aid. Did you guys know that? That's a good thing. We're going to clothe people. We're called to rebuild the ancient ruins, to restore the former devastations, and renew the ruined cities. I love this. In the end here, I'm going to skip. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and injustice. I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and injustice. You and I are called to be engaged in seeing that people do receive actual justice. That we're engaged to be in that place. And you know one of the main ways that we can engage with that is to be a prophetic voice. Do you know what I mean by a prophetic voice? I mean that we speak to those things that are not right and go, you know, this isn't right. Let's do something about this. And you begin to pray and you begin to speak and you begin to engage until that thing begins to move. I recently read, and I highly recommend it to you. I recently read, the most recent biography of Martin Luther King Jr. Arguably the most incredible non-violent leader, civil rights leader since Gandhi. He was very influenced by Gandhi's approach, and he himself led that in a time that, as you guys know, during the civil rights movement, that was incredibly violent, coming face to face with violence in the face of a segregated America. And in that time, what he did was he was a prophetic voice that spoke to America, whether they were secular or not, to live up to its own ideals. Hey, you have said you're one nation under God, all men are created equal, that people would have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and you're not living up to, he said, you've written a check, but the check has come back insufficient funds, and I'm calling you to back your check. You guys remember this? I'm calling you to live up to the ideals to which you yourselves have made. We together are all Americans, and yet, at that time, we have 20 million people who don't have access to the same things that everyone else has. And I'm calling you, it's a prophetic voice, I'm calling you to live up to that ideal. And no, we're not going to wait for a convenient time. We're going to do it now. And so they did marches all over. You guys know this story. They did marches all over. But during that time, too, there were believers that were saying, oh, but you're stirring up and there's violence is coming from this. And so he had to speak to the believers and say to them, you are not living up to your prophetic call in Christ. When is a convenient time? And he said this, he said, so often, believers consider the coming of the kingdom, the passage of time, as an inevitability of the coming of the kingdom. But those that are in the kingdom are those that should fight the hardest to bring the kingdom here now. Otherwise, time becomes an ally of malaise and becomes an ally of what is evil instead of an ally of what is good. Are you guys seeing that? We are called to be engaged in bringing the good of what God is doing, whether it's racism, whether it's injustice in economic systems, whether it's a situation that's a relational breach where you are, whether it's corruption in the place where you work, whatever it is, you and I are called to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven into that situation and to speak to those things because we are part of that kingdom. We have a magnificent call, and I want to remind us of what that is. And we're going to have an exciting, Isaac Cox is going to preach a little bit about how we do that within our spheres of influence. And I'm looking forward to that. So he'll bring some practicality into some of the ways that he's doing that and that we can all do that. But I want to remind us of this. Unless we are born again and come into the kingdom, even our greatest efforts will fail. because until we come into the kingdom of light, we don't understand this kingdom. So I want to make an opportunity for you today. And can I ask the worship team to come back up? I want to make an opportunity for us today. If you have never given permission, if you have never given permission to God to come and to save you from the kingdom of darkness and bring you into the kingdom of light, if you have never turned to God with all of your heart, I want to make an opportunity for you to do that today. We're going to sing a song together, and within this song is the prayer. We're going to sing that song again, I Surrender All. And if you have not yet surrendered your life to the Lord, as we're singing this together, I want to ask you, I want to compel you that you would turn your life to the Lord and that you would look at these words, and as you sing these words, that you would give your life to him. And if you have done that today, if you've chosen to become a follower of Christ, we want to give you a Bible today. And I want to greet you, and I want to shake your hand, and I want to welcome you into the family. And for everyone else that's here, I want to ask you, will you let the Holy Spirit, even as we sing this song and then we go out to share the gospel of the kingdom, as we continue on with the mission, I want to ask you, will you let the Spirit of God, even as we sing this, refresh you in the good news that you carry, the hope of all nations?